Today on Real Radio.
This book is a book full of well-known characters and tremendous exploits and actions to the glory of God. A book that takes us deep into the inner relationships of kings and queens and of soldiers and of generals and of shepherds and prophets. A great book.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a brand new verse-by-verse series through the book of 1 Samuel. Now, 1 and 2 Samuel are both well known as historical narrative, and they truly are fascinating accounts of the lives of those people who contributed to Israel's history and her development. Now, that includes the first 11 verses of the opening chapter, which tell of the circumstances of how Samuel came into this world. These opening verses of chapter 1 are what Pastor Jack will focus on for this lesson. Here he is now, pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, with a lesson called It's Time to Trust God Because.
Would you grab your Bibles now and then turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we embark upon a fantastic book. This book is a book full of well-known characters and tremendous exploits and actions to the glory of God. A book that takes us deep into the inner relationships of kings and queens and of soldiers and of generals and of shepherds and prophets. A great book. A book that begins to introduce to us the kingships of Israel. Prior to this, in fact, Samuel himself being the last of the judges. And by the way, he also occupied the first of the prophets, as many Jewish scholars teach. Samuel, the last of the judges, the period of Israel where the judges ruled prior to the kings, but Samuel also being one of a prophet. And so he has a very unique place and position in the scriptures. The Bible tells us, in fact, this book tells us that from conception, Samuel was a man destined to the work of God, ordained by the will of God to come forth from his mother, Hannah, and to be one who would be used mightily by God. And I just want to suggest to you that your life has been ordained by God. There's no doubt in my mind about that regarding my life. There's no doubt in my heart regarding your life regarding that truth. But sometimes you can doubt that. Sometimes in the mundane things of life, don't you sometimes wonder, Lord, why am I thus and so, and why am I here or there? It's common for us to think this way. Lord, what is my life equating anyway? What will it add up to? For what reason? You might be one like Mordecai comes to Esther and says, listen, girl, you better think straight, because it may be for the very fact that you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Personally, I believe that you and I are alive right now because it has been ordained by God. Samuel's life was ordained by God. Your life has been ordained by God. And you might say, well, Jack, if you knew how insignificant my life is, you wouldn't be saying that. And listen, I'm going to argue with you. Praise God that you and I are not what we once were. Amen? Praise God that what we shall be in Christ is not what we are now. We're going somewhere. Remember the old hippie days? I mean, I don't remember them because I'm way too young for that, but but remember that sticker and decal and poster and t-shirt and everything where that hippie there is kind of leaning back and it says, just trucking through? Just passing through was another statement. Well, the believer is just passing through, but God has ordained it in our lives that we pass through this world with an effect, no matter who or what you might be or what you're doing in life. You might say, well, I'm just a mom. Just a mom? It's been said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Well, I'm just this or I'm just that. Have you been dedicated to God? So, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think my parents dedicated me to God. Well, what about you dedicating yourself to God? What about you right now saying, Lord, I dedicate my life to you. Hey, the way things are going on in the Middle East, now's a good time for dedication. Now's a good time to say, Lord, I'm ready to do whatever. Remember, any dead fish can go down river. It takes a live one to go up the river. And every day, everywhere, people are just striving to be different, especially young people. Man, I want to be different. Brett Williams sings the song, I want to be different like everybody else. You know, you see some kid with a earring in his nose or a tattoo on his face or wherever they're putting things these days. They want to be different. And they're all cool about it until they see somebody else with the same thing. And then rather than be, oh, there's somebody just like me, they wind up just forming a little club. And then that club gets huge. Hey, you want to be different? Realize God's call upon your life and stand on it. Make a difference. What are you waiting for? Samuel was brought into the kingdom at a very, very difficult time, a very dangerous time, a very perverse time. And God had ordained through him to be a man who stood in the gap. And God may have determined for you to be one who stands in the gap, to pray or to minister, to serve or to be. But it's going to take us trusting God. Can I put it this way, but I don't mean to make it sound flippant or light. All it takes is for us to trust in God. Has he ever let you down? When it's all said and done, has God ever failed us? Not once. Never has he ever failed us. Samuel is both, as we said, the last of the judges, but the first of the prophets. The author of the book, listen, interestingly enough, of course, is Samuel, but not always. For the book continues on after Samuel's death, and there are some partnership authors to the book. You might want to jot this down by way of introduction. In 1 Chronicles 29:29, the scriptures there say, now the acts of the king of David, from first to last, are written in the chronicles of Samuel the seer, or Samuel the prophet, and in the chronicles of Nathan the prophet, you see, and in the chronicles of Gad the prophet. So we know that there's the author of the book, Samuel, but also Nathan and Gad toward the latter end of the book. Samuel, if you're taking notes, his name, Samuel, means heard of God. This is kind of cool. Now listen, heard of God, or God heard. It's been understood that his name either means God listens to Samuel, or Samuel cries out to God. You win either way. Great name. Samuel's position with God is extremely powerful. Very unique in all of Scripture. Samuel, it mentions him in Jeremiah 15, verse 1. Then the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind would not be favorable toward this people. Cast them out of my sight. Remember how Moses stood and interceded for Israel? Israel had so sinned against God that God says to Jeremiah, even if Moses and Samuel appeared and negotiated before me, I wouldn't listen. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have a Jewish mindset, Moses is a big hitter. Samuel in Jeremiah is put right on an equal plane of having God's ear to cry for his people. In Psalm 99, verse 6, the Bible says, Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. So Samuel's a very, very popular man with God. Acts 3:24 tells us, yes, and all of the prophets from Samuel and those who follow. See how the beginning is with Samuel and the prophets? As many as have spoken have also foretold of these days. Acts 13:19 tells us that after he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel came, Samuel the prophet, and afterward they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul. So Samuel's in that very unique place of the judges, or the period of the judges coming to a conclusion, and the prophet being, so to speak, born to establish the kingdom through kingship. And it's amazing that through Samuel, he ordains two kings, Saul and David. The principal theme of the book is threefold. You might want to jot this down. It's very applicable to our lives today. Number one, the calling of God upon the life of a believer. Samuel's life. The calling of God upon the life of the believer. And number two, the effects of sin and righteousness upon God's people. The effect of sin and righteousness upon God's people. And the third principal theme of the book is the damages of a corrupt priesthood. The damages of a corrupt priesthood. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, this man, Eli, or we say Eli, it's Eli in Hebrew, Eli's fine, went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. Now, these two guys, these two boys, his sons, were not good guys. They were bad boys. And God will deal with them, and you'll see it. But Hophni and Phinehas, God had ordained these men to the ministry, but they had prostituted the ministry of God, the work of God. They had prostituted it. They had given the ministry a black eye. They didn't live exceptional before the people. They did horrible things. You'll hear all about it. That's one thing about 1 and 2 Samuel. The laundry is put out to dry, but it's washed first in front of the world. Corrupt leaders. There's nothing worse in ministry than corrupt leaders. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 19 tells us, and Phinehas' wife was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the Ark of the Covenant was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were now dead, she bowed herself and travailed. For her pains came upon her. She's pregnant. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said to her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered nothing, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel. So Phinehas' wife, at hearing of his death, because he was a corrupt man, God judged him. The woman, the wife, goes into labor, gives birth to a son. She dies in the delivery, but before she dies, she names the child Ichabod. God, or the glory of God, has departed. All because these two boys under Eli grew up and disgraced the priesthood, the ministry that God has called people to. It's tragic. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7, the Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure is the gospel, this word of God given to us. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's our body. That the excellency may and power may be of God and not of us. Isn't it wild and radical that God would call Samuel to do his ministry, and people like David and people like Saul and people like, you fill in the blank, people like you, people like me, God would call us. Earthen vessels made out of dirt. We're made out of the same what, 13, 14 elements that the earth is made out of? God creates us, but he has ordained us to be ministers of the gospel, each and every one of us. And we have this incredible, eternal good news in these earthen vessels. And therein lies the problem. Why would God use us to minister the gospel to other people? Why not perfect people? Answer, anybody know? Yeah, there are no perfect people. Why doesn't he use angels? Because angels aren't people. It would be no effect if an angel came down and said, "Hi, let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life." How can we relate to an angel? We can't. But if somebody says, "You know what? I used to be just like you are now, and you don't have to stay in that position. You don't have to live like that. I can tell you from personal experience that in the midst of what you're going through, I did the same thing and called out and said, 'Jesus, forgive me and change my life.'" And all of a sudden, there's a connection. And we can minister to people. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. But it's the earthen vessel that has been designed by God to bring God glory. It's like Gideon's pots. Remember that story? When Gideon and his boys got together, they took the torches of fire and they put them in the clay pots and they snuck up on the enemy and they took stones and they whacked those pots in the middle of the night and the pots broke open to reveal the flame, the torch that was burning on the inside. And when the enemy saw that torch burning, they began to scream and cry and they said, "The sword of the Lord is upon us and Gideon." And they fled. The treasure, so to speak, the light, the glory was in the earthen vessel. But until the earthen vessel was broken, there was no glory or light emanating out. Every one of us as believers must have in our lives a death experience, not a near-death experience. "Well, you know, I saw a bright light when I was on the operating table. My friends later told me that the line was flat and people began to weep and everything, and the doctors came in and they began to shock me with the things you see on TV. And I came back. But before I did, I saw this light and it was getting brighter and brighter and it was getting warmer and warmer and it was just a beautiful thing and I could see the glow. And then I came around," and you hear people talk like this and they say, "and now I'm not afraid to die." And you ask them about God and they go, "Oh, I don't really care because I've already been there. I'm not afraid to die." What cracks me up, somebody please finish the story. I saw a bright light. I was traveling toward it. It was getting warmer. It's called hell. I don't get. And now it's cool. I'm back to tell everybody there's nothing to fear after death. Well, what about Jesus? Oh, I've already been there. It's cool. You don't have to worry about it. Finish the story. I mean, it's amazing to me. I'm not talking about near-death experience. A believer in Jesus Christ must come to that place of a death experience. Galatians 2:20 tells us that Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ." Now, no one's ever gotten away from a crucifixion. No one's ever escaped. There he goes. You know, you don't run from a cross. Paul says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, it's no longer I who lives." He says, "It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Oh, no near-death experience. That's kind of like being kind of born again, like you're kind of pregnant. How you doing? Are you pregnant or not? Well, we're kind of pregnant. Look, you're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. Well, I'm kind of born again. I mean, I'm kind of getting into the church thing. Kind of easing on into it. Listen, you're either born again or you're not born again. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You're either dead or alive. And for us to be walking with Christ Jesus, we have to come in what is supposed to be life, which is death, living in this world. We come to him and we yield ourselves to him and we die with Christ. The moment we come to the cross, we die. And then he begins to live through us. The cool thing is, you'll never experience true life until you first die. Say, man, you got me all whacked out on this. I don't get it. You laugh because you do get it. But there are people perhaps listening that don't get it because they don't know what I'm talking about. Jesus said, if you want to save your life, give it away. Give it up. He says, if you want to become something, become nothing. His is the inverted kingdom. The book of Samuel, the servant of God. The glory departs when ministers begin to see themselves as something more than an earthen vessel. And Samuel, God is going to use powerfully to speak to his leaders. When the glory departs, is when men begin to lay hold of God's glory for themselves. So let's look at this together. We'll look at verses 1 through 11. The title of the message is that it's time to trust God because. And because there are difficulties in life. Verses 1 through 11, difficulties are ordained by God. Say, okay, now I know why I've come. Yeah, difficulties are ordained by God. Cheer up. If you're not having any problems, God will see to it you have some. He's ordained some specifically for you so that his glory might shine through you. But be of good cheer. It's time to trust in God. Verses 1 through 4. Let's read that together or follow it along with me. Now there was a certain man. You ought to mark that in your Bible. A certain man of Ramathim Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, the Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Phinehas or Phinehas. I've heard it all kinds of different ways here. And Phinehas had children, but Hannah had no children. This man, Elkanah, went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni. Now, listen, as Hophni and his sons, as these two boys grew up, they grew up in the ministry.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called It's Time to Trust God Because. In fact, it's the opening lesson in this fascinating Old Testament account, which lays out the life of this prophet and judge over Israel. We'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, it is Monday, and you know what that means. You can catch our television program tonight called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs on his channel. That's hischannel.com. Now, Real Life with Jack Hibbs is a fascinating show because oftentimes you'll get to see Pastor Jack sit down with some guests that really are specialists in their respective fields, and they talk about, well, they talk about real life, hard-hitting topics that affect all of us as believers, everything from issues on a personal level to those on the international stage. You'll hear and see Pastor Jack talk about everything from Bible prophecy, both past and future, to being salt and light on all levels in an unbelieving world. In fact, you'll probably recognize a lot of Pastor Jack's well-known guests. Also, at times, you'll see Pastor Jack sit down one-on-one and teach us about scriptural topics. And tonight, it's another Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time on his channel, hischannel.com. In fact, for your point-and-click convenience, we have a link to his channel from our own realradioactive.org. And our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.